kids. This is Risk, the show where people tell true stories they never thought they'd dare to share. I'm Kevin Allison, and every Thursday, we release these special episodes that we're calling Classic Risk Singles. Each of these episodes features just one story from our earlier years. If you're new to Risk, you should know that the podcast can be very uncensored. This week, a story that Sheng Wang first shared on the podcast in February of 2012. Here's Sheng now with a story we call Voltron Lives.
Hi, everybody. All right. My story takes place summer 2002. I was about to graduate college, and I was freaking out. I was very anxious about the need to suddenly grow up and navigate real life after school. And I didn't have a job lined up like most of my colleagues, but I did spend a ton of my parents' money earning a degree in business administration. And I learned that I think I want to be a poet. Maybe a photographer, maybe a comedian. Something, you know, more about like art and fun and not so much about business administration. I lived in this little house. It was like classic, like really carefree college lifestyle. We had five students live in there, so we called ourselves Voltron House. After the 80s cartoon where five big robotic lions would come together in a time of need and create this huge sword-wielding enforcer of universal justice. We were Voltron House because there was five of us. That was like where the similarities kind of dropped. It was five of us, we'd get together and we just like chill. We drink 40s on the stoop and just people watch. We grill ribeye steaks on the propane grill, and we would have kegger parties, funneling, you know, beer down our throats and all that. I was like, well, this is all gonna come to an end. It's time to, you know, the fun stops now. It's time to grow up. It's time to be serious, live in the real world, do grown up stuff. And that was killing. It was just consuming. I was just like, damn, this is. I didn't like. It was a very stressful time. And one day, my friend JP called us, and he asked if some of us wanted to join him and some of his friends on a trip to San Gregorio State Beach for a party that evening. And JP was a former resident of Voltron House. He graduated a year earlier. And he moved back home with his parents, started teaching high school students. And he was a very cool dude. He was soft spoken. I didn't always like know exactly how he felt about things. Like, I couldn't really like judge how he was handling post college life. And I kind of felt like he might have missed college or something. I thought, you know, all right, cool, a road trip to the beach. That's a great idea. Let me get out of my head. Let's stop worrying about the future. And by the time we piled into JP's Chevy Suburban, it was like twilight. And I, to make sure that I was going to have a really good time, I ate this pot brownie this old, crusty pot brownie that I was saving in the freezer for like a special occasion. And the brownie kicked my ass. It was so effective. I remember at one point we got to a grocery store to get some beer. And I remember telling one of my roommates, I was like, dude, I envision my body as one gigantic nostril. And I'm breathing through every single one of my pores right now. It's beautiful. So we're driving. JP's driving. I'm sitting shotgun. I'm on the front seat. There's five other guys in the back. It's a Suburban. It's a very big car. But between like the music blaring and the pot just keeping my mind busy with all these epiphanies, I didn't really have time to, like, I was isolated. I didn't want to talk to anybody. I just kind of stared out my side window looking at, we were like on Highway 1, and I'm just staring at these, like, trees passing by in the darkness. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I hear a lot of screaming. People are freaking out. I couldn't understand what they were saying, but I looked in front of me and I noticed that we were in the wrong lane on this two-lane highway, and there's headlights in the distance. And I grabbed the wheel and I swerved into our lane, and I assumed that JP had fallen asleep, and I yelled, I said, JP, wake up, dude. Wake up. And I left it at that. I just thought I took care of everything. I'm going to go back and trip out of my head some more. Not more than 2 seconds later, people are shrieking. People are freaking out again. And I look, we are once again on the wrong side of this two-lane highway. There's oncoming traffic now. And I take a good look at JP this time. His mouth is wide open. His eyes are wide open, but I don't see any pupils. I'm like, this is not right. This is not right. I grab the wheel with my right hand. With my left hand, I reach down between his legs, start to apply the brakes while trying to barely peer over the dashboard to see where I'm driving this car. And physically, it's pretty challenging. I got my core muscles engaged. I'm balancing. I'm stretching. I'm contorting my arms. Mentally, I'm still one gigantic nostril. I'm the furthest from prepared mentally you could be for this situation. And I noticed that JP's foot is on the gas. The car is still jamming down this highway. I'm on the brakes. I could hear revving of the engine and grinding of the brakes, and it's taken us a long time to slow down. And at one point, JP starts to regain some consciousness, and he says in this very confused, groggy voice, he's like, "Let me drive. Let me drive. What the F are you doing?" And when I heard that, I had a couple thoughts. When he first said, let me drive, my paranoid mind was like, oh no, JP is not happy with his year of real life after college, and he's done, and he wants to check out now, and he's going to take some of Voltron House with him. I got to stop this car and get everybody out. And then when he said, what the F are you doing? I went to a whole new thought, and I started second-guessing everything. I said to myself, yeah, what the F are you doing, dude? This is crazy. And I thought I might have hallucinated the whole situation, and I just freaked out and started driving with my arms from the passenger seat for no reason. At that point, the car, we finally stopped. When I threw it into park, I grabbed the keys. Everybody jumped out except for JP. He had no idea what happened. And what was supposed to be just like this super relaxing trip to the beach to forget about all the woes of whatever real life, impending real life, came to this. It was six young men on the shoulder of this dark highway just hugging each other and crying. Just happy to be not dead. Calm down a little bit. Check in with JP. He's fine. He thought he just fell asleep. Unsure. We didn't know what to do. We're just like, we just got back in the car, piled back in. My other roommate got behind the wheel, and we went to the beach, because after that, we're just like, we have to unwind now. We have to drink some beers by the ocean. And it was a beautiful kind of like decompression that night. The next day, I called up JP and I said, "Hey man," I told him what happened, and I said, "You might want to go see a doctor, talk to him about that." And he got diagnosed soon thereafter with complex partial seizures, which is this condition that if left untreated would just continue to lead to things that happened that night. And it was something he was going to have to live with, you know, but he was just not going to stop him from living. And I guess, like, at that point, I learned that, you know, that's kind of a big part of what growing up is all about. You just deal, and then you move on. And I also learned that pot makes near-death experiences feel a lot more nearer. Thank you guys very much.
That's all for this week's Classic Risk Singles episode. Now, don't miss out on our regular full-length episodes. There's a brand new one every Tuesday. And everything you might want to know about us is at risk-show.com.